A giant rally this weekend in Hong Kong drew hundreds of thousands of people to the streets to mark 6 months of pro-democracy protests. This comes as President Trump says trade talks with China are moving right along, but a new round of U.S. sanctions could go into effect as soon as Sunday. For more on these two big stories, we're joined by Chow Chang Yan, executive editor of the South China Morning Post, an independent newspaper based in Hong Kong. He is currently in New York, where the paper is putting on its annual U.S.-China conference. And Chang Yan, as I mentioned, it's been more than 6 months since the political crisis began in opposition to an extradition bill that has since been dropped. Where does this protest movement stand now?
Well, the protest movement very much is still ongoing, and I don't see a quick end to this, because even after the government dropped the extradition bill, people's demand now has moved on to become, they first of all ask for an investigation against the police, alleged police brutality. And then more than that, they want to restart political reform, which were eventually lead to Hong Kong having this universal suffrage.
So the two top line demands, addressing police brutality and restart political reform, do you think there's any chance Beijing will meet those demands?
It is actually getting increasingly complicated, because 6 months ago when this first started, Beijing largely sees this as a Hong Kong social problem, a local political problem. But now they increasingly see this as a proxy war between China and the U.S. So for some reason, Beijing is very convinced that the U.S. is behind all this. So because of that, I think the chance for Beijing to make a compromise is actually not very hopeful. So I think this unrest will go on for quite a while. For various reasons, I think that for Beijing and also for the Hong Kong government, then emphasize is, first of all, the protesters have to cease to use violence. So this is the one thing they repeatedly stressed. You have to stop violence before we can talk. But for the protesters, they think that the government needs to make the first move. The government needs to show that people's voice has been heard and that they are going to take some initiative.
Can you talk more about the idea that the government feels that the U.S. is behind all of this? Can you say more?
Right. I think in the beginning, particularly for the Beijing, they always claim there are some so-called black hands behind it. But of course, they couldn't come up with a very convincing evidence to that. Some people from Beijing will say that they think the U.S. may not be directly behind this, but certainly they are playing the role of the aider and abettor, meaning that they are giving a lot of moral support to the protesters. And then they also think that the Western media so far have been so-called double standard in reporting this. A case they often use to compare is the Catalonia protest in Spain. But as things move on, particularly with this introduction of the Hong Kong Human Rights Act, then increasingly in Beijing, they think that this is basically become part of the leverage, part of the things that the U.S. want to push the button on China. So they may not think the U.S. is directly behind this, organizing everything, but they think that the U.S. is creating an environment for these protests to go on.
Let's talk a little bit about the media's role. You mentioned Western media. I'm curious, in the past, your publication, as well as many others, have received pressure to tone down coverage of politically sensitive issues. Has your publication faced any pressure from Beijing for its coverage of these protests right now?
I think that's largely a perception issue. Actually, we didn't get any pressure from the Beijing, but we do get a lot of pressure from both end of the spectrum, no matter it's the anti-government or the so-called pro-establishment side. But the fact is that actually, if you go to read us, our report, all the information we use, we have been we have verified those information. We have been sending reporters to the front line. We are trying to talk to both sides of the people. And also in our opinion section, you actually, it's a very rare platform right now in Hong Kong where you can read opinions from both sides of the movement.
Let's turn to the trade war. Trump now says there's no deadline for an end to this trade war. How closely are people following this story in China, and what impact has it had on Hong Kong?
The trade war definitely is followed very closely in China, particularly this Sunday. Whether they can postpone the deadline is going to mean a lot to China's economy. The expectation is that they may be able to reach the kind of deal, the so-called phase one, mm-hmm. and then for the both sides to have more time to continue the negotiation.
China announced on Friday that it would exempt some soybeans and pork from tariffs in the U.S. Who do people in Hong Kong blame for the effects of the trade war, China or the U.S.?
It's hard to say which side Hong Kong blame for the trade war, but basically because of Hong Kong's role is like this middleman's role and the bridge connecting China with the rest of the world. So people are definitely worried about the trade war. The fact is actually the Hong Kong markets react more sensitively to the trade war news than to the protest news. This basically shows how important the trade war is to Hong Kong. I mean, to most Hong Kong business leaders and investors, what they want to see is a cease of this trade tension between China and the U.S. because both are critical to Hong Kong's economy.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about something else. The U.S. Congress has passed two bills recently that we hear that Beijing is not happy about. The first is the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, which supports the protests in Hong Kong. And the other is the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act, condemning the detention of Uyghurs in Western China. How are those efforts perceived in mainland China and really by protesters in Hong Kong? And really, are they going to make it more difficult for the U.S. and China to broker a trade deal?
Right. I think the two acts, first of all, in mainland China and in Hong Kong, they are perceived very differently. In mainland China, this is because of the rising nationalism sentiment in China. This is actually seen as another example, another evidence that the U.S. wanted to contain the rise of China and to push button on Beijing. I mean, in Hong Kong, particularly among the protesters, this is seen in a very much different light. They're actually seeing this as some kind of endorsement and support from Washington. So this basically gave them hope to keep this movement ongoing for a while. And as for the effect on trade war, I think the Beijing very much wanted to separate the two issues, because it's not in their interest to get the whole thing even more complicated. The trade war already involved a lot of very complicated detailed negotiation. But then they also have to take into consideration of the public reaction, public perception of the issue. So when these two act right now, when they are fueling to this nationalistic fire in China, it will actually reduce the room for the government to make compromise in order to get the trade deal done.
Yeah. Tell me more about this conference that you're at right now in New York.
Right. This is the first time SMP bringing our China conference to U.S. and to New York. This time we bring to U.S. because right now I think the China-U.S. relationship is probably the most critical relationship that will have bearing on a lot of things.
And I would assume that some of these issues that we talked about today will also come up, possibly?
Oh, definitely. I think Hong Kong is on everybody's mind, and the trade talk, it will dominate this week's news.
That's Chao Chongyan, executive editor of the South China Morning Post. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thanks.